For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands all on sale every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off, plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, March 13th, 2025. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie, and we'll present an interview with actor Eric Bauza and director Pete Braungart. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor BJ Colangelo.
Hi.
BJ, what did you think about The Day the Earth Blew Up? I think this is the first just like straight up 2D animated Looney Tunes movie in quite some time. It can't possibly be the first ever to get a theatrical release. Is that right? I don't know.
Oh, I actually don't know this. I should probably know this considering I love the Looney Tunes so very much. But listen, I love the Looney Tunes. I'm obsessed with them. I love that this is a Porky Pig and Daffy Duck movie because I think Bugs does sort of steal the limelight when we talk about Looney Tunes, especially like long form Looney Tunes. This movie just makes me more mad about Coyote versus Acme being like locked away in a vault because the Looney Tunes are evergreen hilarious. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I was wondering, I was going to get to that and see if you thought there might be a correlation. Like, do you think because Warner Brothers is not even releasing this movie that they're probably paying attention to how it will perform theatrically? But I mean, do you really think that David Zaslav is going to care about how this film performs? And is that going to impact any decision making going forward about like what they do with the Looney Tunes characters and IP or whatever?
I honestly have no idea. I've seen some rumors like kind of floating around online from people who work in sort of the Looney Tunes world, some of the voice actors, some of the animators who have said like, hey, you should tune into this movie because this might be the deciding factor regarding what to do with Coyote versus Acme. But also, I don't trust any of these billionaires at this point. So like, this movie could make a bazillion dollars and then he's still like, I don't know. I don't think so. Why don't I just greenlight another reality show starring the Paul brothers? Like, I don't know.
Okay. So you mentioned that this is a two-hander between Daffy Duck and Porky Pig. And I was wondering what you thought about that combo of characters, because by the way, I just looked this up and apparently this movie is the first fully animated and theatrically released film in the Looney Tunes franchise based on entirely original material. So I'm not entirely sure if that means if they're like counting Space Jam or something as like a technicality or something like that. But I mean, obviously, like Looney Tunes characters used to show up in movie theaters all the time in like whatever the 30s and 40s or whenever they, you know, the original cartoons would play before movies all the time. But yeah, in terms of like a feature length project, this kind of feels like a historic moment for this particular franchise. But yeah, I was going to ask about the two-handed nature of Daffy and Porky here and this particular pairing. I was expecting more Looney Tunes characters to kind of pop in along the way, and that doesn't really happen. I mean, we're talking about this movie one day before it hits theaters, so we're not going to spoil too much. But what did you think about the chemistry and that particular, like, choosing these two characters to be the leads here?
So admittedly, I wasn't 100% sold on whether or not these two characters paired together could pull this off. And then I sat with it for more than 5 seconds and went, oh, I'm so stupid. Of course they can. This is Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy. Like, this is very much like a very like traditional like comedic pairing. And the fact that we're kind of just now seeing this as a setup seems like a missed opportunity for, like, you know, 50 years of Looney Tunes or however long they've been around. it makes sense to me because they are these two characters that are constantly playing second fiddle to, you know, like Bugs Bunny, and seeing them play off of each other. They have, you know, incredibly distinct voices. They have incredibly like big skittish personalities. You're essentially taking like the two like frantic characters and putting them together without like the grounded coolness of Bugs. And that I think is really, really smart. And again, like, why haven't I thought about this combination sooner?
Yeah. So I had not even seen a trailer for this going in. I just kind of went into it blind because I had heard good things about it. Cause I think this movie played on the film festival circuit last year a little bit. And, I know Rafael Montemayor, who writes for Slash Film, is a big fan of it as well. And you saw it. Did you see it last year? Or when
so
did you
I saw
see
it
this?
Earlier this year. They've been starting to do like mini industry screenings around Los Angeles. And because I'm so annoying online about how much I love animation, I managed to get an invite.
Nice. Okay, cool. So yeah, I guess another topic that I wanted to raise here is about the actual animation itself. Like, there's, again, without really spoiling anything, there's one kind of deviation from the normal 2D approach to these characters, which is in the very beginning of the movie, Daffy and Porky are sort of raised by this character named Farmer Jim, who I was not really familiar with. And I don't know if like that's a figure that has popped up in a bunch of Looney Tunes lore over time and I just missed out on that. But you seem more tapped into the animation world than I am. Were you familiar with that character beforehand, or was this an invention for this movie? What do you know about that?
So I was not familiar with Farmer Jim, and then it made me think, like, what am I missing out on? What has been going on in, like, the world of Looney Tunes that maybe I'm just not hip to? Because just, why does he look like this? Why is he such a hunk? What's happening?
Yeah. It's kind of like a painting come to life, you know, it looks very, very distinct and very different than the rest of the animation. So I was just curious what you thought about that sort of stylistic flourish, if you will, because that's really the only difference that we see just in terms of like how the movie actually looks, like the aesthetic of it.
Yeah, so I went, like, I did a little, like, looking up. So he is an original creation for this movie. I am so weirdly obsessed with the animation deviation and the fact that it is kind of, like, a hunkier version of, like, a Norman Rockwell painting. Sort of, it's, like, weirdly, like, if Norman Rockwell and, oh my god, my brain is, like, not braining this morning. it looks like a lot of, like, the, like, gay pulp, like Tom of Finland almost, where it's just, it's like weirdly handsome, which I like, because I think it's like, it's combining this kind of aesthetic of like the all Americana artistry, but also like, let's not forget we're in a Looney Tunes, like this is still campy and fun sort of thing. I loved it.
Yeah. Did you have any favorite, well, I was going to ask you if you had any favorite jokes. I guess that's too much of a spoilery question. So maybe we can hold that for like after this comes out or something. And if we circle back around to talk about this movie at any other point later in the year, we can mention those. Because that's not really fair to people who haven't seen the movie yet. I just wanted to kind of put this film on people's radar because, like I said, I didn't really see a lot of trailers circling around it. I kind of like heard through the grapevine that it was good, but I think it's Catch Up Entertainment that's distributing this movie. And they like just don't have the resources that a huge studio or a huge distributor does in terms of marketing spend and stuff like that. So I had a really, really fun time watching this movie. I think that, like, probably about half of the jokes felt like they were kind of like Phil Lord and Chris Miller level elevated, you know, like it kind of like zagged when I expected it to zig and like went the extra mile for to make the joke that much funnier. And then the other half of the jokes were just like solid and normal and like didn't feel like they really like went that extra mile, but it was still serviceable. So I think that was a good enough balance for me to enjoy the movie overall and to recommend that people seek it out. But what did you think about like the comedic aspects of it?
I really loved how much the humor felt in line with the tradition of Looney Tunes and that there are some jokes that are going to just fly right over kids' heads that adults are going to understand. Because I don't know, like, if you ever rewatch like old Looney Tunes cartoons that you're like, oh, yeah, I know this one. And then you'll watch this gag that you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is a Looney Tunes cartoon. And there are a lot of jokes like that. I feel like after Shrek, a lot of the animated worlds, like those sorts of jokes became like wink at the camera kind of jokes for adults. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, I think it's just like the humor is embedded in these characters. It's embedded in how they communicate with each other. And so it doesn't feel like it's winking to the camera. And then the times that it does wink to the camera, it makes it that much funnier. But yeah, the humor I think works really, really well in this movie.
Awesome. So Pete Braungart is the director of this, and he, I think, was one of the key creative voices behind the Looney Tunes cartoons, the new sort of revival of Looney Tunes that's up on Max right now. Mm-hmm. And they started in 2019, 2020, somewhere around that region. And I had heard good things about those too, but I just never got around to checking those out. Did you ever dip into that version of Looney Tunes and see any of that stuff?
Oh, yeah. So I've been really into what a lot of this like new class of animators have been doing with classic IP, like the animated IP on Max. So the new Looney Tunes stuff from Peter Braungart. He is also known as the creator of a show called Uncle Grandpa, which is like wackadoo, like kids animation, like just real, real weird shit. So it makes sense that his Looney Tunes are weird. But I am also a huge, huge, huge proponent of what they've been doing with Jellystone on Max, which is the upgrading all of the Hanna-Barbera characters that they have access to. And so there's just this class of animators that obviously have a deep love for these classic characters, but who are also just like kind of weirdos. Like they all like have worked on weird Cartoon Network and Adult Swim properties, and they're bringing that sense of humor to sort of like revitalize these characters for a new generation. Because like the Looney Tunes are great, but like you also can't bank on making references to like old Hollywood. Like kids today don't know what the hell that is. So you have to like get on their level, and like how are you going to appeal to a younger generation of people who watch like TikTok brain rot all day? Like you have to get weird with it. And so I've been really enjoying how they've sort of been marrying the worlds of like, what do we know and love about these characters? But also how do they maintain like, you know, a new audience? Like I've been loving what they've been doing with like Lola Bunny, which is why I was so this petty soapbox, I don't care. But like, I hated what they did to Lola Bunny for the new Space Jam movie, because I was like, no, I've been watching Lola Bunny essentially be like a manic crazy person for years who is just like, like legitimately insane. And now she's like back to being a sex bot. No, not my Lola Bunny. Bring her back. Let her be crazy again.
Yeah, I never bothered seeing Space Jam and New Legacy. I heard it was so bad that I just stayed away.
Hey, you don't need
it,
to. It's not good.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to shout out the voice cast in this movie. So we've got Eric Bauza, who voices both Daffy Duck and Porky Pig. Candy Milo voices Petunia Pig. She's great. I spoke with her for a big article that I wrote a couple years ago about voice actors in Hollywood and what they thought about AI and whether or not it was going to take their jobs. And a lot of those feelings are still relevant a few years later. So I'm going to link to that piece in the show notes so people can check that out. But you've got people like Peter McNichol in here, Lorraine Newman, Wayne Knight. Like it's just a kind of a murderer's row. It's a really small cast, but yeah, just shout out to everybody because I thought they did a great job. And man, I really wish we could talk about some specific gags in this movie because there's such funny stuff that happens in it, but I don't want to give anything away. So
there's a delivery driver joke that got me real good.
Yeah. Any closing thoughts before we dive into the interview?
I mean, the only closing thoughts that I have is like, this really is just an unbelievable like voice cast, especially when you're talking about like legends like Kenny Milo and Eric Bauza. Carlos Araki's also in here. There's a bunch of people in here that have like, you know, just an incredible repertoire behind them. And I've never understood why we don't highlight these characters, like these actors, more than we do. Not to like just completely shit on Space Jam again, but I just remember when that movie came out, there was like no acknowledgement of the people who had been, you know, voicing these characters for many years, who like took over the mantle. And this is like the new group of people that bring these characters to life. Like that, those are your stars. Those are the people that you should be highlighting, especially because they're all really nice people. Like Eric Bauza is one of the most decorated voice actors we have currently working today. He's the new Jimmy Pesto on Bob's Burgers. Like he does so many incredible things. And so people will, like, it goes viral every once in a while, but people will be like, oh my God, I miss like the unhinged Looney Tune screams that Mel Blanc used to do. And it's just like, yeah, he does those now. Like, mm-hmm. These are really cool people.
Yeah, his IMDb is absolutely insane. I'm gonna try to put a link to that in the show notes too. Just like, if you like animation, chances are you've heard his voice a lot in the past 10 or 15 years or something. He's just been like, I can't believe, like, I was looking at his IMDb just in preparation for speaking with him, and there are just no breaks. I'm like, how does this guy sleep? Like, legitimately, right. You know, sometimes we say that about filmmakers who like, they'll put out a movie a year or something, but this guy is just like absolutely crushing it in the voice booth. It seems like on a daily basis, like not taking any breaths between jobs, just like rolling straight from one thing into the next.
He can do so many of like the actual Looney Tunes. So obviously he's Daffy Duck and Porky Pig in this movie. If you have Max, I highly recommend this movie called King Tweety. That's a Tweety and Sylvester movie that the animation style is nuts. Like, it is so weird looking and so good, and I love it so much. But he's both of those characters as well. It's like, he can do the whole roster. It's pretty impressive.
Nice. Okay, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and get into my interview with Eric Bauza and director Pete Braungart.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Okay, real quick, before we get into the interview, I did ask Eric and Pete what their favorite jokes in the movie were, but I think their answers are broad enough or non-spoilery enough that I decided to keep it intact. So if you're really, really, really spoiler-averse and like haven't seen a trailer and are super hardcore about spoilers, I mean, maybe avoid that section of the interview, but for the most part, this is good. Okay, here is my chat with Eric and Pete. Thank you so much for speaking with me. So, Eric, I want to ask a hardball question right off the top. Do you personally like Porky or Daffy better as a character?
Oh, brother, let's see. That's a tough one. I mean, if you're asking Daffy, usually he says himself. Or he'll say, who's Porky? And Porky would go, oh Daffy, always forgetting about me and forgetting to pay the rent.
I mean, it's tough. It's tough. I like them all equally, is what a normal, nice parent would say about their kids.
And the answer really is Bugs Bunny, Doc. Where the heck am I? I'm not even in an extended after credit scene.
Yeah, what's up with that, Pete? Why wasn't Bugs in this one?
Well, he is busy. No, you know, that's a good question. Basically, I feel like my approach to coming up with this and pitching it was I was worried that Bugs is usually the characters, his villains want to kill him, and it sort of limits the opportunities of how much you can do storytelling wise a little bit. I think there are ways to tell larger stories, but I also love the buddy idea, and I wanted to do a buddy comedy with Porky and Daffy. And they played a lot of genre roles, so it was that led to it too. But you know, to the studio credit, they didn't pressure us to throw in cameos or anything. I thought they were gonna, but they didn't. So it was good.
That's good. So, Pete, like, if I'm not mistaken, this project was at one point going to go straight to streaming. What was your reaction when you heard it was going to be getting a theatrical release?
There is a God. pretty much there was my reaction. Yeah, we had a crazy journey to get this out to audiences, making this film. And there was a lot of moments where our future was a little uncertain and we were nervous, but I kept telling him that, you know, emotionally making a film is challenging. I mean, it's a lot going on. It's very hard. You're balancing a lot of the plates. And so is the many members of the crew. So it's keeping morale up and keeping people focused on the prize. And I always reiterated that, like, if we concentrate and we work hard and we try to make something big and cinematic and tell a great story with these characters and do something with this opportunity, something good was going to happen. And I'm glad that I was right, because that's not always the case, but in this case it was, and I'm very, very grateful.
Yeah. So Eric, as the modern voice of several of these legendary Looney Tunes characters, I imagine you feel a sense of responsibility in terms of carrying on that legacy, but do you also feel like it's part of your job to pay attention and advocate for how these characters are being handled? Or kind of because that's somewhat out of your hands, you just like draw a line and say like, hey, I'm just over here doing the voices, you know?
Well, at this point, I'm surprised I'm not fired for what I do outside of the cartoons. Like on picket lines or award show ceremonies.
I'm very thankful and grateful that Warner Brothers is the way Warner Brothers is at some points, you know? They kind of, in the original shorts, they kind of poke fun at themselves. They're a little self-deprecating. They know that these Looney Tunes characters are on the Warner Brothers lot making Warner Brothers cartoons, right? Like, they're actors on set. And it kind of lends itself to situations like being on a picket line, yelling at the studio into a megaphone for the writer's strike, you know? And who better to be on the side of than the writers?
The pen is power.
And of course, the great Mel Blanc is the original. We can't move this conversation further without mentioning Mel Blanc and saying thanks, because that's all the hard work. What we're celebrating and what we're discussing here today is the hard work of Bob Clampett and Mel Blanc and the rest of the Warner Brothers Golden Age crew. The work that they made over about 90 years ago now is still being influenced in our work today and what we're presenting to people on March 14th. And we hope one of the hopes obviously is to make more, but also to interest young viewers, a new generation of fans, to look at the original stuff too and find it some way, somehow, and demand that it be available for consumption.
Absolutely. Well, kind of like along those same lines in terms of advocating for the characters, the whole Coyote versus Acme situation with that movie being shelved as a tax write-off is just like, it feels so profoundly wrong. And I know you worked on that movie as well. Like, do you have any hope at all that we're ever going to get to see that? Or do you think that ship has truly sailed?
Wait, there's a movie called Coyote versus Acme? I was unaware of this.
You know, it is what it is, unfortunately. It could be a case where, who knows if they even saw the name of the movie. They may have just been looking at a number that worked in the equation to help save the studio some money. I just found it curious that, like, unfortunately for the studio at the time, that those were the only things that were being reported as the things that they weren't making. And I don't think it helped them that much, because who knows how often a movie gets scrapped in whatever stage of production that movie mm-hmm. was in, just for a write-off, you said. So it's hard to escape it. But we have to look forward to movies like The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie, and really champion and celebrate movies that do make it. I think in today's society, it really is easy to, oh boy, you know, here's a tough, sad story. Let's dwell on this one for a while. People love to do that, right? But we're here to talk about this great film that this great, great film that we made. I can't help it, but Trump Tourette's, get into that. But it's a great movie to celebrate. And hopefully, again, just remind the people upstairs at Warner Brothers that these characters are alive and well, and that they're still funny and people still want to see them.
Definitely. I had a lot of fun with this movie. I laughed a lot. And both of you, I know, have worked in Looney Tunes related stuff for a while now. And so you've certainly seen your fair share of Looney Tunes style gags. And I was wondering for each of you if you had a favorite joke or gag from this movie, something that stood out to you.
Oh, okay. Petunia's introduction in the diner. I like what Porky sees in his mind, of course, is this flawless angel, a pig in with the perfect hair, the walk, the whole outfit, and in reality, she's just like, you know, really just one of the guys. She ends up being part of the gang, and I think that's kind of a cool dynamic that she isn't that siren that most cartoon characters, the idea of like the female version of a cartoon character was just to put a bow in their hair and then that was it. There's so much more to her, aside from being hysterical, that she actually is probably one of the reasons why they saved the day. Because of her contribution to the team. And again, who better than Candy Milo to play such a character with that gravity and importance in this film.
Yeah, she's so awesome. What about
that whole scene in the diner where we're seeing what Porky sees and what is in reality?
Yeah.
Always gets a laugh. Anytime I've seen it with a theater full of people, they love that scene.
Yeah, I love Farmer Jim. I was really proud of Farmer Jim's stuff and the sort of that style as a joke, you know, sort of that contrast of him as a moving painting. Also, the job montage sequence where they're failing at the jobs as an Uber driver or working at Starbucks or that type of thing. That was one of my – when I came up with the idea – when they said make a movie, I said, I want to do shorts within a movie. Like, I wanted to put a – that was like one of the earliest sort of seeds or an idea that I'm so proud that not only did we exhaust ourselves to try to find out the funny – because we could only do a certain amount, you know, before it got – redundant. Mm-hmm. Sort of exhausted ourselves to find the funniest modern jobs to undertake. But yeah.
I probably don't have much more time with you, but Eric, I did want to ask maybe an obnoxious question, so you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but I think people will be curious when they find out that you voiced both Porky and Daffy in this movie, and both of them are main characters. Do you get paid twice? How does that work?
Because I'm Canadian, I only get paid half of half. And with these tariffs, let me tell you, it ain't easy. I get paid in American money, but they're only one-sided bills. I don't understand this theory.
Wait a minute, you got paid?
Oh, man. Yeah, no. No, I think there's within the union, at least on televised jobs, if you're talking about the small scale, small screen, I think it's like two or three voices for the price of one. And then the more voices that you do after that, then there's a bit of a raise that goes straight to the agent or manager or the H&R Block people.
And orthodontist.
My seamstress. But in this case, you know, I was very much taken care of. And
believe me, you know, I'm making the big middle bucks now.
Work your way to the middle, as I always say.
I'm glad to hear it. Well, I think I'm out of time with you guys, but thank you so much and congrats on the movie. I really enjoyed it.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of the show. You can find more about all of the stuff that we mentioned at slashfilm.com. I will try to link to a few things in the show notes as well. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.